Hey, welcome everybody. Brother Goodwin here, Prophecy in the Spotlight. In today's program, we're going to take a real look at Jerusalem and the nation of Israel. We just talked about Israel last week. Remember, we talked about why Israel is relevant still today. And we're going to go a little further with this. And I'm really going to share with you some things out of the new book. And this part of the book is called Jerusalem, the Focus of Prophetic Events. And it is. Jerusalem is the focus of prophetic events that are yet to come and things that are happening even right now. Let me read a verse for you, and then we'll bring Doc in. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 8 is interesting. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you. For he that toucheth you, toucheth the apple of his eye. What the Lord is saying here is those who mess with Israel, specifically Jerusalem, those who mess with Israel are messing with the apple of God's eye. What is that? The apple of God's eye is something that's very precious, something that's very precious to God. And don't mess with Israel, my friends. Don't mess with Israel. And it's the apple of God's eye. And we're going to discuss this in some detail here. Doc is here. And so get ready, stand by. We'll be right back. And welcome, everybody. Glad to have you with us today. And these are great days to be alive, friends. The Lord's coming back. Have you heard?
Bible times.
And have you heard that there's a gathering coming?
Amen.
We talked about that recently. Or maybe that's next week's show. I think that's next week's show.
Yeah,
we're getting ahead of ourselves here.
Amen.
So next week, you're going to hear about there's a gathering. And what happens at a gathering when you meet at grandma's house? There's food to eat. And there's fellowship and friends and relatives, people you haven't seen in a long time. It's called the rapture, and it's coming. Let's review just for a couple minutes, Doc. Of course, we got my brand new book is out, and you can order it now. Is Israel relevant today?
Well, that seems to be a hot topic in our in all circles, not just in religious circles, but in the world's thinking.
Yes. I was thinking today. This is an important book that I think every preacher needs this book. I think his church members need this book. I really think this book could help a lot of our people.
I tell you. It
puts it on the bottom shelf because that's where I'm at.
Because a lot of people are listening to the influencers through the internet that are anti-Semitic.
There are good people that I like, that I still listen to some of their stuff. And I like them, but they're wrong on this issue.
They're wrong.
They've turned on Israel.
Yeah.
It's sad, and this book could help them. I give in the book four main points of why Israel is still relevant today. Let's just read those four points, Doc, but we want to move on to the back part of the book, which talks about Jerusalem, the focus of prophetic events. So why is Israel relevant today? Number one, and probably the most important thing, is God's covenant made with Abraham
and
his descendants is an everlasting covenant.
Absolutely. It's
everlasting.
I always ask people, what's everlasting mean?
Yeah.
And they always come up with the same answer, well, right answer, but then they don't apply it.
I had one guy on the phone, and I was throwing that same thing at him. I said, what's everlasting mean? Well, yeah, but what if they mess up? What if they go into sin? What do you mean, what if? We're all stinking sinners still to this day.
I know.
I'm not going to heaven because I quit sinning.
Your statement there is absolutely critical, because if God can't keep his promise to Abraham, and he made the same to Isaac and to Jacob and to Israel, If God can't keep that promise of everlasting,
yeah,
how do you know he can keep his promise, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved?
Yeah. The promise extends to the nation descending from Abraham through his sons, Isaac, Jacob. Mm-hmm. Jacob's name is going to be changed to Israel. Which is the name of the nation today. And his 12 sons who make up the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. The Bible describes it as an everlasting covenant, not determined by how they live or how they act, or well, you know, it's a promise that God made with them, a covenant. Psalm 105, verse 10 and 11, it confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying unto thee, will I give the land of Canaan the lot of your inheritance.
I think,
well,
that's number one. In the book of Psalms, he says to 1,000 generations.
That's a long time.
That's a long time.
Number two, the regathering of Israel to their land in the last days proves that Israel is still relevant today.
Absolutely.
Because the Bible says they will be regathered, Ezekiel 36, 37.
That's right.
That they will be regathered. The bones are going to stand upon their feet and the sinew and all that. And eventually there'll be breath breathed into them, which hasn't happened quite yet. So the regathering tells us that Israel is still relevant today.
And it's amazing when you study all of that out about the regathering that we already see happening, you will discover that it was prophesied from four directions from which it would come in incremental steps. And that's exactly how it has happened.
Doug, I don't know if we talked about this, but I had this thought the other day. What is it that causes the Jews to go back to their homeland?
Yeah.
Persecution. Probably the number one reason.
That's right.
You start persecuting these people around the world, they're going to go where there's safety.
Yes.
And that's back home. And so
part of
the fact that America is turning on them now, and a lot of our broadcasters out there are slamming them. And that's all the more reason for all them Jews in New York City to get out of Dodge and go back to Israel.
And I don't know when this is. It's obvious we're getting close to these times, but Israel has already been regathered, and he says that they'll never be removed again.
I'm looking at it right here, Doc. Oh, okay. Amos chapter 9. Mm-hmm. Just as you said that, I'm already planning to. This was next. Yeah. I will plant them upon their land, and listen to this: they shall no more be pulled out of their land. That's a promise.
It's a promise.
So if 1948 and 1967 is what we believe it is, Israel coming back to the land, there's a promise here that they'll never be uprooted from that land again.
Absolutely.
All right, number three.
The reason, though, is that, Dan, before we're going further, there's got to be more than just that. They're there because God has brought them there for a final purification process, the tribulation, so that they can live in their land for the millennial reign.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
Number three was simply this, Israel's role in God's eternal plan of redemption.
Yeah.
Remember, that's what you're saying. It's all about
redemption. And that's why anti-Semitism is what it is. People try to figure out, why does everybody hate the Jews? And if you nail them down, many of the people really can't.
They don't know why.
They really don't know why.
They've just bought into the lie that they're evil people somehow.
But it's all because Israel is the woman of Genesis 3:15. She's the woman that you see in Revelation chapter 12.
Yep.
Israel is the one that allowed God to use them to provide the Redeemer, a body for Christ.
So if you're Satan and his devils, wouldn't you want to
destroy that? You want to tear that down.
Because if you do that, you're going to tear down the faith of some people too with it.
Well, because if the devil could prevent the rest of prophecy, this is what it's talking about. If he could prevent it, then he thinks he could prevent having his head crushed, as it says in Genesis 3:15.
And number four is what we're going to jump off from today. Number four is Jerusalem is the central theme of end time events.
Oh, my.
And it is.
It
when
is.
We're taken out of here, gone to our gathering up there.
Yes.
That's my new thing. We're going when the gathering happens, and boy, we could write a book on that.
Oh, man.
When the gathering's coming. Get ready. And look, you know, you don't want to show up there in rags, do you? Get your life in order. The gathering's coming. We're gonna be going to this gathering. You don't want to look like a bum, do you?
There you go.
Well, that's good stuff. Jerusalem is the central theme of end time events,
and the Bible has a lot to say about it. Yeah. And the thing is, Dan, it's obvious if you study a little bit of history in the world as well as biblical history. The devil, immediately after the flood, chose him a city, Babel, later called Babylon. And God chose him a city, Salem, Jerusalem. And from that time on, there's been nothing but conflict between the two.
So we want to look in the last half of the show here. We got a little more than half left. We want to zero in now on Jerusalem.
Okay.
And my title, and this is the second half of my book, which is only 28 pages, so very easy to read, on the bottom shelf. And the book is called Why Israel is Relevant Today.
Or Israel's Relevant, yeah.
Why Israel is Relevant Today. Amen. What did I say? I don't know what
I don't remember. But
Israel
still relevant today is the name of the book.
And there's the book right there. And that's free shipping on that. 28 pages. This book, your pastor needs this book.
You're not far from the picture of what I have on my Jerusalem cup of
tea. Did you steal my work?
No,
again,
my book's been out for a while.
So,
amen.
Yeah, and we'll put there's Doc's book right there. Okay. Yeah. All righty. And I have that book. And, yep. All right, so both those books will be very helpful, folks.
Mine's not 28 pages. It's about 70 pages. So.
Is it 70?
Okay. Somewhere in that neighborhood.
All right. So Jerusalem, the focus of prophetic events, and I give some points under this. Number one, Jerusalem becomes a burdensome stone for the nations.
Yeah. The Bible says, Zechariah chapter 12, he said, all that are around it, and if you've not looked at a map in the Middle East, you can Google it and you can get one that'll come up and it'll show you Israel in one color and all the Islamic nations that surround it. Why in the world is one little bitty sliver of all of that?
I guess it's
such
like
a trouble.
I guess
place.
It's like a little pebble in your shoe.
I guess it is.
I mean, it can get you down.
So they're all burdened over it.
Yeah.
Just yesterday, I saw an article concerning. Of course, we've known that Turkey's been wanting to pursue the reestablishment of the Ottoman Empire. They want to become the actual. The caliphate, the latest head and leadership of the Islamic movement. And they're already talking about taking Jerusalem.
Now, I looked up that word burdensome. That's not a word that we use a lot today. We understand what a burden is, but
to be burdensome. We'll say, man, you look burdened, or yeah, I'm burdened down with something.
And here's what Mr. Webster, 1828, said. Mm-hmm. Burdensome means, it's an adjective. To be heavy, to be grievous to the bone, to the born, causing uneasiness or fatigue, to be oppressive.
Yes.
So that's what they're saying, that is Jerusalem becomes oppressive to the people around.
Absolutely.
Grievous to people, causing uneasiness. And boy, them Palestinians, they're trained as little kids to hate those Jews over there.
That's all they've known from the time that they were born.
Yeah.
That's all.
And so you gave light to Zechariah 12 already, but I'll read it from here for you. I said this is one of the clearest end time prophecies.
Sure.
Zechariah 12:3, and in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces. So in other words, those who are burdened about Israel, not in a good way, but a hatred way, will be cut in pieces. Though all the people of the earth be gathered against it, they're going to gather against Israel.
So
Jerusalem.
It does seem like that this will tie in somehow with maybe Ezekiel 38 or at least with the Battle of Armageddon. Yeah. I think that's where it's really heading. I think Ezekiel 38 is separate from Armageddon, but I think it's on its way there. And this verse is saying all of it surrounds Israel or Jerusalem, the capital.
Yeah, the picture is striking. Every nation that tries to pressure, divide, or control Jerusalem will ultimately be destroyed by God himself.
Well, you tie that, Dan, with Joel chapter 3. In Joel chapter 3, in verse number 2, the Bible makes it clear that God is bringing all of the nations together that have parted his land to the Valley of Jezreel. That's the Battle of Armageddon.
Yeah.
And where's it all about? It's all about what you're talking about.
Verse 4 and verse 9 goes on to say, "In that day, saith the Lord, I will smite every horse with astonishment." That's
and
interesting.
His riders.
And his riders with madness.
Yeah. And is that not what happens? That's where we are now. Look at the Islamic action against Israel and Jerusalem. Yeah. They're mad.
The rockets get taken out. The missiles don't go off or they get blown up in the air.
Yeah.
It shall come to pass in that day that I, God, will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem.
Yep.
Zechariah.
It's coming.
Then we have point number two here. So not only Jerusalem a burdensome stone in during the end times here, and it's already happening.
Oh, yes, it is.
And the great America that's been their friend for all these years, one of their only friends, is now turning.
I'm afraid we might be.
I see this causing an exodus from here.
I see
more people going to Israel.
I see this peace movement that Mr. Trump has. Who are the players in this? They're the Islamic people.
That is.
And they are diehard and never
will be.
Trump's
a businessman. This is about business to him. He wants them
business.
All to interact in business.
Yes.
And he means well.
But this is one of the things that the Antichrist system is going to be so accepted on. It's all on an economic basis, and this is where we are.
Now, so we get to Zechariah 14, and point number two is this. The nations gather against Jerusalem. Then the Lord returns.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we just talked about that in point one here, the burdensome stone, Zechariah chapter 12.
If we're already seeing this burdensome stone and all that's taking place, and we realize that it's leading to Armageddon, man, we must be getting close to the gathering together
of
the saints.
And, of course, Ezekiel 38 is even before that.
Yes,
we think.
I'm convinced that it is.
I believe they're destroyed in the mountains on the rapture day. That's the scenario I see.
Mm-hmm.
The burning of weapons for 7 years, I think, is a pretty good clue. You agreed that that's not good. That can't happen during the kingdom age.
We know it's not going to be clean because the kingdom age is going to be, and I wrote a book on that. I'm here to tell you the kingdom age is going to be an absolutely restored earth, and it's not going to take anybody but Christ to do it.
So those weapons got to be burned for 7 years. That's got to end before Christ comes back.
It has to be a part of something.
It sets up the kingdom. So that I think it's a clue. I think that battle ends right there in Ezekiel 38. I think the rapture and everything happens right there.
Somebody told me the other day, we was talking about this, and he said, "Boy, wouldn't that be a great day for the rapture?" I said, "Today would be a great day for the rapture."
Yeah.
Because there are no signs for it.
Yeah.
Yes.
So number two, the nations gather against Jerusalem. Zechariah 14 gives one of the most detailed descriptions in the Old Testament of the final battle, verses 2-4. And I know you're an expert on Zechariah, Doc. I'm a greenhorn with this. I told you earlier. That's my next project. I'm gonna study.
You
got to
study those first five chapters. Those eight visions, chronological order makes a lot of sense when you get into it.
Chapter 14, verse 2-4. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem. Notice they think that they're doing. God's involved in gathering them. And in other words, they hate Israel. He kind of eggs them on. Well, why don't you go do something about it?
And it's kind of like when you read in Ezekiel 38, God puts hooks in the jaw and draws them. I mean, God's giving them the incentive, I suppose.
Now, they already had the hatred and the want to.
Yeah,
so all he did was entice them to go do it.
It's like going to fish.
Like Pharaoh.
It's like going fishing. I go bass fishing. I don't use a bare hook. I use something that bass is already enticed to want to have, and I catch him. Yeah.
I'll gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken.
Yeah.
That's Jerusalem. And the houses rifled?
Well, we are already, I think we're already seeing some of that. When you think about it, have you seen some of the pictures of the last few weeks of all of the northern part of Israel and the devastation from the drones and rockets that's come out of Hezbollah, out of Lebanon? I mean, you're seeing telltale signs, at least, of this.
Now, look what it says here. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. That's our clue. We know what that means. That's the end of the tribulation. Yes. That's Christ coming on the white horse.
Amen.
And he takes over, and he ends that battle. He's already gone through Armageddon with the voice of his mouth, ended that battle, and then he stands upon the Mount of Olives and he ends this one. This passage describes a worldwide coalition attacking Jerusalem, great suffering in the city.
Seems to be something more than just Ezekiel 38 taking place north of them. There's already this thing happening in the city.
And this shows the physical, visible return of the Lord to the Mountain of Olives, which is just east of Jerusalem. In fact, you, from the Mountain of Olives, you've been there. I've been there. I mean, you can see the everything.
Everything's right there.
And supernatural intervention that splits the Mountain of Olives and brings victory. You've got a whole series of stuff on that.
Yes, it's amazing.
Spend an hour on, but point number three, we got 6 minutes left off, and there's five of these. Here's number three. The judgment of the nations for dividing the land of Israel.
Joel chapter 3, I mentioned,
And that's what I have here.
Do you?
The prophet Joel is very specific about why God judges the nations. And this is Joel chapter 3, verse 2. Yep.
Every time you hear people talking about, Israel's got to give up something for peace, that's parting God's land.
Yep.
And every nation, it appears that every nation that has any part in that is going to be it. They're going to be there.
And there's a book written, as America has done unto Israel.
I think it is something. I forget who wrote it.
He documents things, even with the George Bush thing.
And everything that happened.
When Katrina formed out in the ocean is when they were pulling them out of their homes on the West Bank.
Exactly.
I was in Maine watching that on TV. I remember that. And he claims that God was bringing judgment for America making the wrong decision.
I think it happened.
So judgment of the nations, I will gather all nations and will bring them down to the Valley of Jehoshaphat. Now that's the Armageddon spot. And will plead with them there for my people.
Some places called the Valley of Jezreel and the Valley of Jehoshaphat,
God states that that one of the main reasons for his wrath against the Gentile nations is their attempt to divide the land that he gave to Israel.
Yes, and God calls it his land.
Yep. This is the reason Bible students watch current diplomatic efforts concerning Israel's borders with deep interest.
That's why every time you hear our leadership in America sound like they're pulling away from Israel, it just makes me shudder for our country.
Yeah. Number four is a little different here, but the call to pray for Jerusalem.
Absolutely.
If Jerusalem's not a big deal, then why are we told in the Bible to pray for the peace of Jerusalem?
Yes.
And even today, believers are instructed, Psalm chapter 122, verse 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee.
I think this is one of the areas, Dan, that the movement among fundamental Christianity that's drifting toward anti-Semitism over this Israel, man, they're wicked. They've got the greatest, biggest pride parade and all this kind of stuff. And you've already dealt with it. We're all sinners. We're either lost or saved.
And America's filled with that, too.
Absolutely.
Does that mean we don't love America America doesn't exist?
But I want God's blessing. And he says to pray for Israel, for the peace of Israel. And I think God will bless us because we're obedient to that scripture. Yeah. Whether we understand it, whether we like everything that's taking place, we're going to do what God said to do.
Jerusalem, the focus of prophetic events. Number five, why? Because Jesus' own words on the subject of Jerusalem in the end times.
Yes.
In the Olivet Discourse, Jesus tied the fate of Jerusalem to the timing of his return.
Exactly right.
Now, this is, now I have Luke here. You'll like that. Luke 21, you use that a lot.
Yes, I do.
Verse 24. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and they shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles
until
the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled, which is Armageddon,
basically. I guarantee you. The times of the Gentiles, I have a teaching on this. Times of the Gentiles began whenever Nebuchadnezzar destroyed Jerusalem, destroyed the temple. And until the Battle of Armageddon, even to this day, Gentile leaders of the world still tell Israel how far they can go. Just the other day, President Trump, what did he do? He called and said, don't you retaliate.
So if Jerusalem and Israel are not significant, they mean nothing in the end times, then
why is all this happening?
What is all this we're talking about here? Right out of the Word of God. Right up to Armageddon, it's still about
Why
Israel.
Is it such a burdensome stone if the Israel of today is not the Israel of Bible prophecy for
what
the end
What we need,
times?
Doc, is for our preachers out there, those, hopefully some are listening, we need them to get on their face in their office and beg God for forgiveness and get back on board. I'm not saying you got to send them money. I don't send money to them.
No.
I'm not sending money to build the temple. That's the Antichrist temple.
That's right.
But that's not what we mean by supporting Israel. And it's not about sending them money. I know we do send them money. I don't know that they need our money. They need our support more than they need our money.
They need what you just read on point number four. They need our prayers.
Yeah.
Because our prayers can move the heart of God, who's the only one that can move the events on planet Earth.
Listen to this. According to the Bible, and this is a little summary that I have at the end of this section. According to the Bible, Jerusalem is not just another city. It is the place where God has chosen to put his name and where the Messiah will return to one day. Number two, the nations of the world will increasingly turn against Israel and Jerusalem. God has declared that he will defend Israel and judge the nations that oppose her.
Right.
And that's even an Israel that's not even Christian to
that's
some
right.
degree. These events are presented as signs preceding the visible return of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There's so much more I could share. Get the book,
so
folks.
So good. Yeah.
Get the book. Good. Get Doc's book on the cup of trembling. Get the book. Is Israel relevant today? It'll help you.
Amen.
Doc, and you got 20 seconds to share something with them.
Well, we need to realize that the Israel of today is the Israel for end time prophecy. So many, at least 70 plus prophecies have been fulfilled since 1918 and World War I. All of them. Israel of today is the Israel for end time Bible prophecy. No ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Yeah. All right. Well said. Very well said. All right. Thanks for listening. We'll be back again next time. Keep your eyes on them skies.